Now is the time, episode number 3. I'm Caleb Succo, and this is the podcast where we talk about how we can use our lives right now to serve our God. Friends, welcome to another episode of the podcast. And today we're going to be talking about walking. What does it mean to walk with God? You know, sometimes we use those Christian lingo, those Christian words, and maybe they're even biblical words, but we don't put a lot of thought into what it really means. So I want to talk with you today what it means to walk with God and 4 ways that you can improve your walk with God that are directly taken from Scripture. You know, when you think about walking is really a very interesting subject. Of course, when we talk about walking in the Bible, we know that in the Bible times, people walked a lot more. I mean, what options did they have? They either walked someplace, or they rode on something that walked, or they were pulled in a cart by something that walked. No matter how you did it, something had to walk to get you to where you needed to go, unless you were on the water and in a boat. Today, we have more options. We have cars, and we have trains, and so we don't walk as much. In fact, I was reading recently some of the statistics, and it looks like Americans walk less than a lot of countries in this world. In fact, the average American walks somewhere, I think, around 5,000 steps a day. Now, 5,000, maybe that sounds like a lot, but if you compare it to some other countries where averages are much higher, 9,000, 10,000, 11,000 or more, that's a pretty low amount. But it is healthy to walk. Just the act of walking is a very healthy thing to do. My wife and I, we love to walk. In fact, my wife, Christina, she has a pedometer that keeps track of her steps that she wears almost all the time. And so she's always trying to get more steps in. And you know, she does a pretty good job. She averages over 10,000, I'm sure, steps a day. And oftentimes she's up around 20,000, 25,000. Well, just not too long ago, she hit a record. She did 45,000 steps in one day. That was quite a lot of steps. And that's healthy. That keeps us fit and keeps everything working properly in our bodies, just in the terms of physical walking. It's healthy for us. But you know, walking also is quite a complicated process. In fact, if you think about it, even today, scientists are just barely figuring out the mechanics behind walking on 2 feet and making computers that can compute that so that they can build these robots that can actually walk on 2 feet. And we have all of this technology, all this computing power, and we still have not really been able to match the walk of a human. It's quite complicated. And if you think about it, what happens when you walk? You are taking in tons of information that your mind is processing. That information comes through your eyes. It comes through your ears, through the balance in your ears, and it comes through your feet as they feel the surface of the road or the floor or the ground underneath you. And you are constantly processing that information. And if you don't get the smallest thing right, what happens? You fall. I mean, when I'm walking here, it's important that at night sometimes that we have a flashlight, because here in Ukraine, the sidewalks are not always perfectly smooth. And so just the other day, I was walking along, didn't notice a crack. And wow, a very small crack or a rise in the sidewalk of an inch or two, and when you don't notice it, it can just put you on your face just like that. So we are constantly processing information in our minds, and then our minds are relaying that information to our feet, to our legs, to our hips, to our hands, to our whole body. And that's the other thing that I find very interesting about walking, is that when we talk about walking physically, it is a whole body and mind process. And really, everything works together. Your hands work for balance. Your feet, of course, work. Your toes work. Your knees, your legs, but also your hips and your abdomen. Everything is really put into this process of walking. Well, let's talk a little bit about walking in Scripture. I've been studying recently the book of Ephesians, and I find it very interesting how Paul talks about walking in Ephesians. In fact, he mentions it several times. The first time is in Ephesians 2:10, where he tells us that we ought to walk in the good works that God has called us to do. He's saved us by grace, and now we ought to be doing those good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do. And then we also have it in Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul calls us to walk worthy of the calling that we have been given. And he also negatively says, don't walk like the Gentiles. Don't walk like the rest of the world. And then again in chapter 5, he tells us to walk in love. He tells us to walk as children of light. And he also tells us to walk wisely. So Paul uses this analogy 6 times in the book of Ephesians. And what does he mean? What is he talking about when he says we ought to walk this way? We ought to walk worthily, or we ought to walk in love? You know, I think that what Paul is really getting at by using this analogy of walking is what he's talking about is the whole life application of God's Word. Because God's Word is really like that. When we study theology, when we study God's Word, it ought to have application that makes a difference, that affects every area of our life. Just like walking is a physical thing that we do, but it involves the mind, it involves the hands, it involves the hips, it involves basically every aspect of our person. So when we study God's Word, it ought to be making changes in every sphere of our life. And I want you to think for a minute what happens, first of all, when you have behavior that is not grounded in theology. So let's say you even have good behavior that is not grounded in theology. It's just something that you've done that you learned from your parents or your friends or your, I don't know, you copied that behavior. That's fine. But good behavior, even good behavior that you have not connected with your theology, is not very... it's not going to last very long, because eventually temptation will come along or something else, and you'll crumble because you don't have a basis. You don't have a foundation for that behavior that is at the core of your being. And so it's empty behavior, which the behavior itself, of course, is not bad, but it's just dangerous because you don't have the proper support for that behavior in your theology and in your beliefs. So practice without theology, it's empty. It will probably eventually crumble. It is dangerous. But there's something that is even worse. You know what that is? That's theology without practice. And unfortunately, we see that in our churches today. We see that around us. Theology without practice is even worse, because what does it create? It creates proud, hypocritical, spiritually numb Christians who are more concerned with things like Bible translations and positions on obscure theologies than they are with simply loving and serving their brothers and sisters in Christ. And what a tragedy that is. In fact, it is also terrible because it ruins the testimony of the local church. When non-believers see here are people that know theology, know their Bibles, but they don't live in a way that reflects what they know. And so, for instance, if you want to think about Ephesians chapter 4, take a look at what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. He says, "Therefore, I, the prisoner in the Lord, exhort you to walk worthily of the calling in which you were called." Now, what does Paul mean by that? First of all, as I said, I think when he talks about walking, he's talking about the way in which we apply the theology, the scriptures, which we know and understand, in which we practically apply those things in daily life. And so that's why he says, I exhort you to walk worthily in a way, in other words, in a way that reflects what? Your calling, the calling with which you were called. So what is that calling? Well, I think that the simplest thing to do here is to look at the first three chapters of Ephesians, because Ephesians is a very interesting book. Paul divides it squarely right in the middle, and the first half is theology, and the second half he focuses on application. And so in that first half, he really explains what our calling is. What have we been called to? We have been called by God to live for Christ in the Holy Spirit. And in that first chapter, we find things like we have been called to a new life, a new hope, a new strength, a new family, a new citizenship. We have been called to do good works, to walk in those good works, like it says in chapter 2, verse 10. And when we properly understand the theology behind it, all that God has done for us in salvation, how He has saved us, then it will be reflected in how we live, in how we walk, and especially in our relationships. Now, I said I want to share with you four ways of how we can improve our walk with God. And, you know, the first one is really that we need to study theology. Like I said, Paul spent the first three chapters of Ephesians focusing on theology. You know, there's really no way that we can improve our walk with God if we don't have that theology, if we don't understand who God is, if we do not know what God has done for us in salvation. And so that's why when Paul wrote to the Ephesians, which was a church where he spent 3 years preaching and teaching, he began with theology, and he began by reminding them of all of the blessings that they have in their salvation. So, really, that's the first thing, and that's probably first in priority of what we need to do, is we need to study theology. And we need to do that by reading God's Word. And friends, we need to do more than just reading. We need to seriously study to find the meaning, and then to work to apply that to our personal life, because that's really the point of studying theology. The point of theology, the point of God's Word, is, of course, to change our minds, to change our hearts, that would eventually result in a change in life, a change in action, a change in direction, if you want to talk about how we're walking. And that really leads to the second thing that we can do, of course, study theology, study scripture. And then the second thing is use the gifts that God has given to you. You know, it's impossible to grow if we are not flexing our spiritual muscles, if we are not putting them to work by using the gifts that God has given us. And we have to realize that, you know, when we talk about gifts, somebody gave me some perfume. My wife gave me some perfume the other day. Why? Well, so I could spray it on myself and feel good about myself. And so that others could feel good when they're around me, right? Well, we have to think about gifts like that. God gives us spiritual gifts, not just so that, oh, we can feel so good about ourselves and enjoy those gifts ourselves. He gives them specifically so that we can use them to minister to other people. And also, if we look at Ephesians chapter 4, Paul talks about the fact that there are gifts given in the church. And it says he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists and pastors and teachers. What is your gift? Maybe your gift is not one of those things, but if you're not using your gift right now, then you're not going to grow spiritually. God uses that service and that ministry to strengthen your faith. And so you need to be using the gifts that God has given you. Maybe you don't know what your gifts are. You know, that's okay. And I would say just start wherever you are with whatever opportunity or need presents itself. It may not be your gift, but that doesn't mean you can't do it. You can give it a start. You can give it a try. And oftentimes, probably more often than not, that's how we find out what our gifts are, is by trying out different ministries in the church. So use your gifts. Use them to minister to other people if you want to improve your walk with God and if you want to grow spiritually. That's the second thing that we can do besides studying God's word and understanding theology. The third thing that I think is really important is to analyze our lives. And Paul also talks about this a little bit in Ephesians chapter 4. He talks about the fact that we are not to walk as the rest, as the Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Chapter 4, verse 17. Why? Because he says in verse 22, he says, "For you have put off the old man as regards to the former behavior, having been corrupted according to the deceitful lust, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and to put on the new man, which according to God was created in righteousness and true holiness." And so what Paul is saying here is, hey, look at the rest of the world and then look at your life. If your life reflects the values and the general picture of the rest of the world, then you really need to question whether or not you put that new man on by putting your faith in Christ. You need to evaluate your life. And sometimes it's helpful to look at the world and then to look at yourself and say, am I just copying those same patterns in my life as I see in what is popular in our society today? Or is my life drastically turned to a different direction? So we need to analyze our lives from time to time, and I think that can be done through prayer and, of course, through God's word. Again, back to theology, the better you understand God, the better you understand yourself, and the clearer picture you have of where you stand before God. Well, there's a final tip to improve your walk with God, and I would say it this way: focus on relationships. And it also comes from the fourth chapter here in Ephesians, because at the end of the chapter, Paul goes back and he begins giving more detailed instructions of how we ought to walk. And You should open your Bibles really after you listen to this and just read the chapter, but especially verse 25 and on. I find it unique how Paul focuses on aspects of our walk that really deal with our relationships with other people. And so what does he talk about? He talks about how we speak. He talks a lot about how we speak, actually. He talks about how we relate to other people. He talks about kindness and honesty and compassion and forgiveness. He talks about humility and patience. These are all things that are connected to how we relate to other people. And, you know, friends, the truth is that if we want to improve our walk with God, one of the major things that we need to do is improve our relationships with other people. And really, it's sort of a result of both improving our walk with God, and yet as we improve our relationships with other people, we also improve our walk with God. And it is seen in that aspect. So when you think about it, theology is, of course, very important, but theology without practice is empty, and it will eventually crumble underneath you. We have to work. We have to use the gifts that God has given us in service of others. And we need to make a regular practice of analyzing our life to make sure that we are putting on that new man and we are walking daily with God and our lives show a drastic difference from the world around us. And of course, finally, we need to focus on those relationships. Now, I want to come back to walking for a minute, because I said that my wife really likes walking. I like walking. In fact, I met my wife at Bible college, and we used to always go on walks together. And when I asked her to date me, we were on a walk. And then later, when I asked her to marry me, we were on a walk. And then once we got married, we'd still go for walks after work all the time. And even today, we go for a lot of walks. And in fact, just the other day, I was walking with my wife and I said, you know, I think that walking is probably the best thing for a relationship. Why? Because when you walk with someone, it almost creates the perfect atmosphere for conversation. But the important thing is that you're walking in the same direction. You can't very well have a conversation with someone that you are facing head on and walking towards, and they're walking towards you. You can talk for a minute or two or a few seconds, and then they're going to be going the other way. And you're going to be going away from them, and they'll be going away from you. And even if you're walking with someone and they are going maybe generally the same direction, but they are not going to the exact same point, as you get closer to your destination and they get closer to their destination, you will both get further apart. But we have a common destination. What is that common destination? It is Jesus. And so in the church, Paul, in this letter, and especially in this chapter, in Ephesians chapter 4, he talks a lot about unity. And here's the thing. When correct theology is taught and is correctly applied, you know what will happen in the church? It will unify the church, because that means that people are walking towards the same point. They're all walking towards Christ. And as they walk towards Christ, they come closer and closer together as they reach that destination. And what a wonderful atmosphere for fellowship that creates when you are walking next to other believers in Christ. When you are serving next to other believers in Christ. When you are in godly relationships with brothers and sisters in Christ. What a perfect atmosphere that makes for fellowship and for spiritual growth. Friends, if you want to grow, you have to be in a church. You have to be serving with those people, or you just can't grow. So let's not forget those four things. If we want to improve our walk with God, it's not something that we can just do on our own. We need to pull out God's word. We need to study. We need to use our gifts in service. We need to analyze our life, and we need to focus on those godly relationships that God has given us in the church. A couple of announcements before I go. One is I would ask that you continue to pray for our trip to Russia, which is happening next week. And a big praise is I was able to get all of the documents done, my visa and the documents on our van done last week, which was a big task. But the Lord blessed and even helped me get all that done, even though it meant waiting in line for more hours than I wanted to wait in line. So praise the Lord for that. But please pray for us July 5th through July 15th as we minister with a group of students in Perm, Russia. And if you haven't checked out our blog, make sure you check out our blog, sukofamily.org. There are a couple new posts up there. And finally, you can find this podcast on iTunes. Now is the time. You can check the link on the blog here for the iTunes link, so you can download it on your iPhone, or just give a search for Caleb Suko in iTunes, and it should pop up. So till next time, thank you so much, and God's blessing.